Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road through
Ooh.
the holidays. We're at the Greenmount Station up in Hampstead this week. I hope I have leftover the crab cakes from there for Thanksgiving. But after Thanksgiving, we're doing several shows through the holiday season. We're starting at Coco's with some spiked eggnog. The fifth will be up at the BMA at Gertrude's with my cousin John
Okay.
Shields and the great Dan Rodericks. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We have Raven scratch-offs to give away, as well as our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare, powering Luke back and forth to Owings Mills and beyond into the playoffs, hopefully around here in football season. Also monitoring baseball, all that stuff, politics, business, crab cakes, holidays, pumpkin pie, sweet potato pie, apple pie, a la mode, all of that good stuff, as well as music classic. But our partnership with Coppin State University is what we're going to talk about right now. If you put the radio on some nights, Tuesday nights, sometimes I'm coming back from Planet Fitness, whatever, you hear some Coppin State, some dribbling, great play-by-play throughout the winter season. Have been our partners for a decade now, over a decade, 12 years. Now we're trying to have a little dig a little deeper into what Coppin State's all about. Once, twice a year, we bring on Dr. Jenkins to talk about not just our partnership, but Stu over there coaching him up and basketball season and all the good things going on. Joshua Humbert is a is the Coppin State. Now I want to get I do I'm terrible with titles. Vice President for Advancement, External Relations, Alumni Association, University Relations, Executive Director at Coppin State University of their foundation. I know I've seen you around court the last couple of years because I've been out there. How are you? Welcome in. Not a doctor, but a vice president.
Like I was telling you, I don't want those extra problems and student bills.
I always say anybody's got a C, they're a chief. And I'm like, man, you're in charge of something. That means people are complaining and coming to you. I see this in your background at Indiana. First things first, the first thing I noticed about you coming to town and being a part of this with everything Dr. Jenkins is trying to do over there with Coppin and grow and just get better at everything. You came in the middle of the mess, man. You came in 21, masks on, people don't even see your face around the campus the first year. And at a time when I think colleges have gone remote and remote learning, and there's so much about Wi-Fi, and we're losing that generation. And you're in the middle of this now, where a lot of these kids on your campus, and I say kids, young people, really live through the weirdest time educationally I can imagine out there. So I would think the campus has changed a lot from the time you got there to now.
It's booming and it's bussing with students walking around. And the good thing is we have a academy, a Coppin Academy on our campus as well. So that adds to a bit of the life of some of our high school students and things of that nature. So
What does that
when I
mean, the
tell,
Coppin Academy? What is that?
yeah, so we have a high school where I think we're the only university within the state that actually has an academy, basically, which is a charter school, part of the Baltimore educational system as well, that Coppin has partnered with a high school, and they are actually located, use our facilities, our building. So you'll see students ranging from, ninth all the way up to 12th, and then you also see college students as well. So it's a really great opportunity for us to be able to make sure that there is a strong pipeline of, young students who are still in, ninth through 12th grade,
Now,
and
these are
then having
West
the,
Baltimore kids that might have been
yes,
going to a Walbrook
absolutely.
or an Edmondson or
Yes, absolutely.
anywhere, right? Okay, Forest Park,
Anywhere.
sure.
So having them on our campus and exposing them, puts them in a great position to see that, college is available to them, and that it's a real reality. And a
All
lot of them
city
are
kids,
first
though,
gen.
right? Not counties or no? Yeah.
Just city kids. Most of
Just
them are from the city
city
kids.
residents. Okay, fair enough.
Correct.
How many young people are we talking about here?
Jeez, don't get me lying, but I think close to 500 to 700
Oh,
all
wow.
in.
Okay.
So
So,
yeah, I'll
yeah.
double check those numbers,
No,
but yeah,
I've
500 to
not,
seven hundred,
I come over a lot, honestly, for meetings. I've been over right by Mendham Park, come in, but a lot of sporting events, right? And I think your gym's really underrated for how beautiful it is. People come in. I always wind up over there for the Morgan games. I got the East Side, West Side thing going on, but there's always a lot of enthusiasm. I came over last year when we brought the LSU in for the ladies.
Oh, yeah, that was
And
great.
I mean, that was just a holiday. The spirit. So when I'm over there, I sense that spirit and I sense what's going on. But on a day-by-day basis, just the, I would say the, the what you guys do foundationally, classrooms, young people, education, all of that. There's just a vibrancy when I go for those kinds of meetings. Now, I don't want to say it's solemn, but it's a little bit quiet. There's a lot of learning going over there, and just a lot of
Absolutely.
people when I see the activity that there's just movement on your campus all the time.
And you mentioned when I came in 2021, yes, people coming back to work, and then getting their footing under them a bit, where a lot of folks had been working from home for the last 2 to 3 years. And it's really good. We have a beautiful campus, and it's excellent to be able to see how we've actually embraced some of the new technology that has unfolded from the COVID. You know what I mean? Being able to take advantage of that, but then still getting back into the normal routine of why people go to a college, why they go to HBCUs, why they go for that, that extra extended learning where they want that college experience. A lot of that, yes, is comfortable when you can probably, do some of this in your pajamas, but you come back for the networking, you come for the camaraderie, you come back for, the games and all the different sports. We've been MEAC champions in volleyball, MEAC champions in baseball. Our ladies went to the big tournament, fell a little short for softball. So, you don't get that sitting around in your pajamas. So we are excited to have everyone back on campus.
You know, you talk about technology taking this thing further, and what I've tried to do in my 33 years of being an old sports radio guy that took live phone calls in live real time, and you know what I think I'm doing now and what I'd like to think I'm doing now. But the Zoom part of this can be, you know, you talk baseball. I mean, when Sherm's doing anything, I have him Zoom in now, talk Orioles with me, whatever, because I think there is an availability that technology has brought us that I don't know what I am. What am I? Gen X, Gen old? I'm 56, whatever I am. But the way young people and even people that might be between their age and my age, like you, find younger people and the way they're seeing the world on their mobile devices, the way they're getting jobs, the way they're getting educated. You have the unique experience of staying young just because you're there to some degree, right?
Yeah, absolutely. When we have our interns coming in and out of the office, it's awesome, right? To be able to see how they're connecting the dots of what their future is going to look like in real time, it's a joy. I think it's one of those things where we have our scholarships and our scholarship holders, they get it when they come back for our commitment to excellence in homecoming, or when we have our scholarship luncheons for our donors to come back. They get to see it and through publications that we put out to support the program as well. But when from being on campus, and then when they get to see the students that they're ha helping and the dividends that their scholarships are providing, it really does transform, their own lives. Because I always tell people, philanthropy is just a big word for big-hearted people, right? So at the end of the day, we want to make sure that we're making a deposit in their journey as being philanthropists, because we also know that at a certain point in time, we had to redefine the profile of what a philanthropist looks like. So when they come back on campus, they get to see that, right? They get to see where our students are, struggling. They get to see where they're succeeding. They get to see everything in between, right? And that is a awesome experience for us to be able to not only see the transformation of our students, but then to see the transformation of our donors. Because a lot of them are making that big step from making a $100 donation annually to making an endowed scholarship where 25,000 or 50,000 or above. The goal for them is to understand that we're in this journey with them, and that's why we launched the campaign too. So we understood we more and more people were seeing Dr. Jenkins' vision. They were seeing the transformation on campus. They were seeing all the beautiful things that were happening. And then we said there was never a better time to actually launch a campaign that really engulfed all those different ideas and principles and values that we were, sort of standing up.
Joshua Humbert is over at Coppin State, our partners in our flagship. He is the vice president, the VP for institutional advancement. I read your bio, like I read up on people when they come on to learn things, and you know, I give you a hard time about Indiana and how we beat them back in the days, Maryland fans around here, basketball, back when we were both younger men. But I see your master's degree in philanthropic studies from Indiana University of Bloomington, and I'm thinking, First things first, philanthropic st studies. You mentioned what philanthropy is, and you've spent, a career in this. What is that, and what should I know about philanthropy? Because I think I've learned more in talking to people around Baltimore who have foundations, and where things like Goldsecker and the Abel Foundation and different, Harry and Jeanette Weinberg, names that
Yes,
I
absolutely.
have for years and years talked about through Ed Block Courage Awards and things that I've been involved in for 33 years trying to raise money. But the fact that there's a true philanthropic say, what do you learn in a couple of years on campus down there in Indiana besides good basketball and the legend of Bobby Knight and all those basketball things? Pretty good football team now too, right now. Gotta be nice because they've stepped that up a little
They've
bit.
done well. They've
But
done well.
from the university standpoint, to have somebody like you out later in life doing what you went to school for and saying, this is how we build communities that have suffered, the places we're trying to rebuild in this, and doing it through universities where you've already told me you got 13, 14, 15-year-old people that are going to be going into that leadership role that when I'm a little older, hopefully staying out of the nursing, these are the people going to be running our world. This is where philanthropy starts with someone like you getting this sort of an education and bringing it to Coppin.
So you well, I think you might actually have just earned your master's degree. You explained it so well. You know what I mean? It really is the third sector. You have business, you have public, which is the government, and then you have the third independent sector, which is the nonprofit space. You know, a lot of the things that we do, from our high schools to our libraries to our hospitals to our associations to our nonprofits, they actually cover a wide range of those 501c3s and all the above. And they have mission-based priorities. And the goal for that is understanding that in this country, we have such a strong independent sector that it's really hard for individuals to live life in America without experiencing some level of nonprofit activity, right? Or philanthropic activity, even with our well-established institutions. So the goal is, how do you create leaders and folks in the expertise the same way you would do in business or the government? You know, the idea is, you know, we need to wrap our hands around folks who take this industry very, very seriously, because most people, you know, and it's more than just fundraising, they don't raise their hands in high school and college and say, I want to be a fundraiser, right? Like the same way they want to say, I want to be an engineer.
Or
But
even if they
we,
realized they were going to become a billionaire, what they would do with their money, right? Like
exactly. You
that would
don't
build
know.
something beyond, I get a boat, I get a house. Once you get all of that, I saw Mr. Rubenstein give a speech about the Orioles. He's a billionaire. Yeah, he's buying the Orioles and thinks he can do good things with the city through it. In his mind, whatever billionaires do. But when people come to Coppin, get an education, do well, go on later in life, they want to come back and be a
They
part of
want
that
to
in
come
any
back.
institution, wherever it is, or in any city or in any environment. And let's be honest, West Baltimore hasn't spawned that so well over 100 years that it needs other people
To
to
do that, to
participate,
come in.
for sure.
And I think where most people look through a lens of first I learn, then I earn, and then I return, which is I become a philanthropist once I've made it, right? One of the things that we've been able to start a culture of philanthropy at Coppin State University is the ability to let people know that you can redefine what the profile of a philanthropist looks like I mentioned. And it doesn't take a lot to give. It doesn't take a lot to give your treasure. We believe that people are smart, talented, unique, and curious, right? And our job is to help prepare, position, perform, and preserve their sort of legacy and the things that they want to do in the community, but they just need a little help. So the goal for us would be that North Star in West Baltimore that allows people to say, look, I can get involved and I have people that are going to help me along that journey, because it's more than just giving. It's the ability to wrap yourself around, you know, your community, you know, the solutions that you can bring as an individual and learn something along the way, right? It's the goal is to enrich your life as much as you are, you know, enriching someone else's life. So I always say there's two sides to the giving coin. But what that does is builds an ecosystem for West Baltimore and Coppin to grow in such a way that is unimaginable. You know, we had North Star goals, a part of, you know, President Jenkins's five, you know, strategic priorities. And the goal for that is we increase our fundraising, we increase our endowment by 60%. We've increased our corporate partners by 25%. We've increased our technology. We've given out more scholarships than we've ever done. We are ranking. Last time, I don't know if you spoke to President Jenkins, but I think in 2019, we were number 53 on the U.S. New World Rankings. In 2023, we were number 35. And this year, we are number 27, right? So talk about these jumps and leaps and bounds. And it's not just Coppin, it's the entire community has wrapped their hands around the ability for us to get there. So the goal is, if we keep pressing on this campaign, I think to date we've raised 17 million of the 25 million that we hope to close at the end of 2025. And we've seen phenomenal support from our alums, our corporate partners, and our faculty, our staff, and our students who give back. Believe it or not. So that gives me my energy when I see students and I was like, wait, why did the student give $25? Right. And I know that they might struggle in themselves and they're living on pizza. And so those things. So you recognize that, you know what, we could all do a little bit. And it's really helping Coppin grow.
Joshua Humbert is our guest. He's the VP over at Coppin. And you mentioned HBCUs. And I think from the sports reporter background in me, it's about FANG and basketball and the MEAC and Morgan State having NFL players back in the day and having some, in many cases, former NFL players coach their team in the same way that you've had a couple of NBAers coach your basketball team. At the heart of everything that Jeff Bezos's ex-wife has done and creating a light around HBCUs and what they represent, and again, from a sports space, for me, it was Grambling, right? And Coach Robinson and Doug Williams and Super Bowls
I
40 years
remember
ago.
that.
That's how you would know about that. But then you grow up in a city like Baltimore with this history for Morgan and Coppin and other schools here. And when you're on the sports side, you just know about NCANT and South Carolina State and Norfolk State. You learn about that from a sports perspective, but you learn about it in a different way from an educational side. And certainly coming from Indiana, I don't know your whole background, but I know you've worked in other places. But you mentioned HBCU. For our audience who may not have ever been to Morgan State's campus, or maybe only came over when LeBron came down and dribbled 15 years ago, or maybe he's been to a Coppin basketball game because they were there last year and it packed the place or whatever. What sets apart HBCUs from a government standpoint, from a civic standpoint, from a community standpoint, and from your involvement when you go out to educate people that may not be as familiar with what even the alphabet part of it even means?
And look, and that's a great, every institution has its own DNA, right? And I think there is a common thread that HBCUs, whether it's Morgan, whether it's Bowie, UMass, Norfolk State, where I went to my undergrad, and it's a common thread that we all share, the ability to uplift and provide an environment and an experience that wraps its hands around the ability to get people from point A to point Z, right? And yes, you can get that at a Towson, you can get that at a UMD, College Park, but the goal is there's an experience that, when you boil it all down, of duty and care and nurturing and potential of, the lives of our students who are sometimes on the margins of society, and they're bringing them along. At Coppin, President Jenkins says, there is not many institutions, right, will take a student who is struggling with a 2.5 and the valedictorian of a high school and then get them across the finish line, right? Like we do both. We get the student that needs a little bit more help and then the brightest student, coming from high school that doesn't need as much help, but then also 10x them to get to the next level so they're ready for a workforce ready minded, position in their careers, right? So and
I
I
think the
love that
hardest
about
thing is when any
HBCUs.
kid comes to you, based on what I've seen politically here, and don't get me started on the election and whatnot, but what I've seen is that there is a wide gap for what education represents in 12 grades of school in this country. And when they come from all over, I mean, Coppin State campus, I mean, I just look at your sports and the kids are coming from Hawaii, they're coming from the West, they're coming from everywhere, international, all of that. When people come there, not only cultural, religious, racial, whatever difference would be, just where they come and say, I've got a high school diploma. And what that represents for when they come to your front door, I think that's its own challenge because it felt a little more homogenized in my era as to what, if I would have gone to Maryland or even a big school that would have had a lot of kids from a lot of places, we all would have read Catcher in the Rye, we all would have had East of Eden, and we all would have had, the solar, so just the basic same sort of education. I think education is very, very different in the modern era as to what a recruiter would find and say what a 17 or 18 year old young person coming to any college, what they would know or wouldn't know based on a diploma, right?
And to you, and look, our job is to transform you once you get here, right? And so that value of your diploma takes you through, everything you're trying to do in life, right? It helps you, helps your family, helps your community. And at the end of the day, we have a certain DNA, and folks always ask, what's the value proposition for an HBCU, right? And I tell them it's the secret sauce. And sometimes people don't understand that, but it really is our secret sauce of the way our experience, our academic, standards, the ability for our leadership to understand that, you know what, these students come from a various different backgrounds, where sometimes when you go to a larger institution, they might not see everyone as an individual, just a block of students coming in for their freshman cohorts. And that's not to knock their system, but the goal is we understand not everybody wants to sign up for that. And then, to be honest, we have very, very big HBCUs out there as well, where people do want a little bit more of, what does it mean to have a very big campus, but still a very unique feel around how they're being treated by their faculty, their staff, and their leadership. So at the end of the day, I think we all work in some level of concert, whether we're separated by states, but there's a common thread that sort of pulls us all together with a unique experience. And especially when it comes to Black and Brown in this country, where they've been our institutions that we can rely on for higher education when we didn't have access to a lot of other opportunities in this country growing up.
Well, you mentioned access to opportunities and where you were. You chose Norfolk State. Were you local there? There's,
Oh
and
no, I was a
I was
DC guy. I was
you
a
were there.
DC guy,
So
and I went down to Norfolk.
okay, so you could have gone to Howard. There were other opportunities for you. What was a draw for you? Because I'm thinking in the back of your mind, every time you're out working on philanthropy, working on building things, you say, "I work at Kauffman, but hold on, I made a decision too to go to an HBCU." And
Absolutely.
I'm sure you probably had other options as well, right?
I went down, and I'm not gonna lie to you, I was 18, so I
What
got
do we
off the bus.
know? What do we know at the UB?
What do we know? I'm not gonna tell you I had it all worked out at 18.
I went to community college so I could figure it out. I went to Dundalk Community College. I tell Dr. Curtinitis that all the time.
My thought is I saw the cheerleaders, I saw the band, and I saw the big buildings, and I saw a community that wanted me there.
Same thing. Every kid that I know that goes to Alabama or Penn State, they saw the same things you saw. You just saw it in a different way, right?
Like, the big program, like, I don't know, Dick Price Stadium, it was huge. You know what I mean? It was one of the biggest football stadiums I've had ever seen. So from that perspective, like, it was such an environment that allowed me to say, hey, mom, I'm going to Norfolk. And my mom was like, well, I thought you were going to JMU down in Virginia. I was like, no, I was like, I'm going to Norfolk. And they sold me. So from there, it was all she wrote. And I had a great undergraduate experience. And, so I see, by having those experiences, what Coppin is doing for their students to give them the same things that I had. And I got to tell you, I'm so excited, and I'm proud of, Baltimore. I'm excited how West Baltimore has risen to the occasion of wrapping their arms around our growth. And I'm excited that our leadership is something that really does come to work every single day and trying to do a better job every day for our students, faculty, and staff.
Joshua Humbert is the vice president over at Coppin State, and Dr. Jenkins providing all sorts of leaders for us to talk about Coppin State. He's with institutional advancement, and the basics of this are you represent the school in trying to get funding from lots of different resources. And I shouldn't say, are we underfunded, overfunded? We always want more funding and different things. But give me a few of the growth things that are happening at Coppin that when you say, give him $1 million, as Dr. Evil would say. Wait, where that money goes and what the few things we're doing at Coppin to try to make it bigger and better, aside from Stu's basketball program over there next couple weeks.
No. So our research has developed so well. You know, we're raising money for our research for our faculty, staff, and students. Then on top of that, the technology and how we build our technology has grown. Our facilities, making investments in our facilities, like our EAC, where so President Jenkins is sort of unique in this, is because a lot of presidents, when I came and I was interviewing for the position, you know, they have this super big wing in the administration building, but President Jenkins put his office in the library so he could be up close and personal with the students coming in and out, so that he had access, right? That's not something, and I've worked for other higher ed institutions, and that's not something that a lot of presidents make an
He's
intentional,
never
you know what I
mentioned
mean?
that
Yeah,
before. I
he's
mean,
never, yeah.
see, you got to tell me some more secrets next time I have him on, because he won't brag about it.
He won't brag
Hold
about
on,
himself.
stop,
Like,
stop. But say, hey, his office is in the library.
his office is in the library. He built his office in the library because he understood at the end of the day, it's about availability. If you ever watch Bronx Tales, you know, it's all about location and availability, right? Sunny. And, you know, he
Proximity
basically
is
said
power.
proximity is power. And, you know, he has a student engagement background. And, you know, the goal is, if you want, and that's transformational leadership right there. If you want to be, you want to understand what students are and the product, and especially him coming in 2020, where it was really knee deep in COVID, you know, I'm glad he got here before I did. You know, the goal is, he knew, so he had a foresight that the campus was going to look the way it did, right? And does right now. And from there, you know, we built out the top floor of our EAC, which basically is a one-stop shop for all the student resources to help making sure that our retention goes through the roof, and which has, you know, our enrollments up. You know what I mean? So when you ask where that money goes, whether it's $50, $100,000, or the $10 million or $5 million from our some of our partners that we hope to receive down the road, it's, you know, to get us to $25 million. It's the ability to understand that your money's going to something that allows us to feel as if it's not going into a black hole, right? It's not just going into something that you won't be able to tangibly see. And endowments are important because it allows us to do operating and strengthen our core. But, you know, we have so many things that we're improving at lightning speed. We've been able to 10x in so many different ways that, you know, I mean, that's where your money's going. And people can see the changes all around. I don't know if you saw, Nestor, all of our marketing and branding across the city last year and this year, from billboards to, you know, making our egos feel proud and our alumni feel proud about, you know, Coppin's back. You know, in a way that, you know, they hadn't seen in a while. And our programs are, you know, doing very, very well. And then on top of that, our sports teams have been winning championships. We've always punched above our weight. And I think, you know, what people don't understand is that Coppin, a smaller institution, that we are beating the Howards, we're beating the Morgans, we're beating the Bowies, we're beating all the other places that come around that allow us to, you know, show exactly why. Yeah, don't discount us because, you know, we might be a little bit smaller in size, but, you know, our teams and our heart is big.
Number 27 with a bullet, he tells me. I got to learn more
Yes.
about these rankings. Hey, listen, everything you just said in the last, I'll leave you with this. We'll drop the mic on this because it'll bring up the great Ron Fang Mitchell, whose name's on the court over there. You know, that's everything Fang would say. We punch above our weight. We're 15 seed. We knock off two seeds. That's what we do. And that was the last century.
And I think we were the first HBCU to ever do it. I believe, yeah. So, correct me, I believe
I
that
that
is
is,
true.
yeah, there was never a 15 that, I mean, it was always the smallest of schools were 15s, 16s had never beaten a one till a couple years ago. UMBC, we got, hey man, we play ball here. You know, don't tell me, right?
We
Muggsy
have a rich
Bogues, we got a
legacy.
basketball. Well, absolutely.
Look, you're about to get me to come out of this shirt, you know what I mean, and just suit
Well, you
up.
know, I mean, and you know, if I had Stu on and Ian Fang, I'd say, guys, those Philly boys came down here. So, you know, we had all the Baltimore guys here going to Georgetown and back in the day and Wingate, but we have it just Dunbar, just such a rich basketball tradition. And I think a lot of people do in my audience certainly think of you for basketball. I wanted to think about you for more. Joshua Humbert is with us from Coppin State. We're gonna get Dr. Jenkins back on here. We'll get him out for a crab cake, maybe down to Fadley's before it's all over with. He is
Absolutely.
the institutional advancement VP over Coppin, and that involves philanthropic strategy, fundraising, and advancement. When I can spit it all out, I hope you have a great holiday. Most
Thank you
important,
so
I
much.
ask this for everybody. All right, it's Thanksgiving. 33 years into this, we got to get loose here. Pumpkin pie, apple pie, sweet potato pie, a mincemeat pie. What kind of pie we got for Thanksgiving?
Oh, sweet potato pie, sweet
All right.
potato pie and apple pie, with lots of whipped cream. It always beats the, it always helps me get to a really good relaxed space
I've been giving my
on the
secret
couch,
out. I've
on
been
the
giving my
couch.
secret out. So Wise Markets is our sponsor. We call these Wise Conversations, and if you've been listening, you know why. They have a they, first off, they have a great dairy ice cream. They make world famous ice cream. I've been to the factory up there with a little scooper with a little net on my head. It was actually in the summer of 21, and I did it. The cinnamon ice cream for the holidays. That doesn't sound. You'll be like cinnamon ice. No. You
No.
gotta have a half gallon of Wise cinnamon ice cream. Get it
Okay.
this week before they, because they there's a run on it. When you have that, it works with everything. It works with any
Okay.
of these pies we're talking about. Because when you want, it's Thanksgiving. Go a la mode. You
Yeah.
don't want to
Yep.
deprive
Yep.
yourself. You
Yep.
know,
Absolutely.
this is a time for be a little excessive. Get yourself $3, little half gallon of cinnamon ice cream. There's my gift to
Tell
you.
you.
Feed
I
me hungry. How about
appreciate
that?
that. All right,
All
I'm
right.
taking it. I'm taking it. And then I'll post a picture of it when I'm on the couch watching football.
What you want to do is put it on there and let it melt a little. Just give it a minute, you know, and then take a picture and then send that over and then get in there and devour it for the late games. VP Umber from Coppins,
Thank
State,
you so
DRR
much.
partner,
Thank you.
thank you for
No,
coming on.
thank you.
A pleasure. A long time our flagship. You hear games around here at AM 1570. You find great conversations. Dr. Jenkins is out, as well as Coppin, all over the front of BaltimorePositive.com. Stay with us.